Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for our special guest, Sari Singer, and for all you folks listening worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com. Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner, and then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever. Folks, a warm welcome to around the globe to all our friends celebrating Hanukkah. We love that you're celebrating it with us today. And folks, you don't have to be Jewish to appreciate this holiday and this show and this guest today. Sari Singer, born in Lakewood, New Jersey, the daughter of New Jersey State Senator Robert Singer. Until 9/11, Sari worked two blocks away from the World Trade Center. Deeply moved by the tragedy of 9/11, Sari decided to resign from her position in December 2001 and moved to Israel to help victims of terrorism.
While there, Sari volunteered with various organizations working with victims of terror and their families. On June 11, 2003, Sari was on bus 14 in Jerusalem when an 18-year-old Palestinian terrorist dressed as a religious Jew boarded and blew himself up. 16 people were killed, including all those seated and standing around her, and over 100 people were injured. Sari was hospitalized for 2 weeks. Excuse me. Sari, why don't you tell your story?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. This is definitely a very special time of year, and I definitely feel blessed to be here and be able to share my story, which represents thousands and thousands of people in Israel that have been impacted by terrorism, and even more people around the world that have been directly impacted. As you mentioned in my bio, I moved to Israel to volunteer with organizations working with victims of terrorism. I was definitely impacted by 9/11, even though I wasn't downtown. On that morning, I overslept, and those kind of led me to the events that took shape in my life going forward. And I always say that, you know, I had no control over how, you know, what happened that day. I only have control over how I live my life going forward. And so for me, it was very, very important that I needed to do something after 9/11. And so when I moved to Israel to volunteer, I felt like I was doing something really incredible. And it was probably, you know, one of the best times, you know, living in Israel and being able to give back and help people that really needed assistance. Unfortunately, on June 11, 2003, I was on bus number 14. I had actually been at my office in Jerusalem, which is towards the entrance of the city in a community called Har Nof. And towards the end of the day, I was meeting a friend in the German colony, which is close to where I lived. So I wasn't familiar with the bus routes to get to the German colony. So I called her up and I said, you know, what bus can I take to meet you? And she said, you can catch the number 14 bus. It's right near the central bus station. So at around 4 or 4:15 in the afternoon, I took the first bus out of Har Nof and I took it to the central bus station. And then I walked to the bus stop of where the 14 was. And it was pretty crowded. It was rush hour. People were, you know, waiting to get home to their families, and the buses were running late. And when you're at a bus stop in the afternoon when people really want to get home, people are sort of getting frustrated, and you sort of feed into that. And so I decided to hail a cab, and even though I had no cash on me, I would stop at an ATM on my way and be able to pay the cab driver. And as I went to hail the cab, I saw the number 14 bus approaching. And so I decided to get on the bus because I had a bus pass, and it would have cost me less than getting into a cab. I called my friend who I was meeting for dinner just to let her know where I was. And as I entered the bus, I remember still talking to her, and there were no empty seats. And for some reason, I wished that there was an open seat. And so I made my way to the back door area, which is really the middle of the bus. And I stood there, and I just hung up with my friend as we started moving to the next bus stop. When we approached the marketplace, which was the next stop, I saw two seats in front of me in the front section open up, and I decided I wanted to get a seat before everybody made their way on the bus, because at the marketplace, there's a lot of people that are getting on FN with lots of packages. Normally, I would have taken the aisle seat because older people do get on, but for some reason that day, and I don't know why, I ended up sitting next to the window. And I can say that if I didn't take that window seat, I know 150% that I would not be here today. The bus started moving, and as the bus started moving, I reached down to my knapsack to put my phone away. And within a few minutes, not even, I felt a huge shockwave. And the shockwave feels like basically two pieces of metal that hit very hard against each other and vibrate back. I remember that's what my body felt like. And I tried to lift my hands up towards my face, and they were being pushed down by this force. And my body, my back, and my head were being pulled towards the back of the seat from that same force. When the blast stopped, I couldn't open my left eye at all. It had already been swollen shut from something that maybe had hit it from the bus. And my right eye, I could barely open just enough to see the roof of the bus had fallen in and the man's head in front of me, and he wasn't moving. And then I quickly shut my eyes. And right after the blast, there's a split second of silence. And it's not the silence that you hear outside in the summertime when the crickets are out. It's literally a split second, but it's like it's like the silence of death all around you. And some people, it feels like it's longer. For me, it definitely didn't feel that long. And then all of a sudden, my ears started ringing, and I started screaming. And luckily, I was screaming because there was a guy outside that heard me. And I found out that he was 3 blocks away. He heard something. He didn't know what it was, and he came running towards the burning bus. And it always reminds me of the images of 9/11 when we see people running from the towers. And that's the norm here, because when there's an emergency, we as civilians need to get to safety and we need to let the first responders go in and take care of the problem. But in Israel, it doesn't matter if you're the police or the ambulance or the fire department. Everybody is coming to run and help because you're a human being in need. And so this guy heard something. He didn't know what it was, but he knew he needed to go and help. And he started telling me that I needed to get out of the bus. I told him I couldn't. He said, put your feet up next to you on the bar, which I thought was the window, but at the time it was really the bottom of the bus that had been blown out from the impact of the blast. And him and another gentleman pulled me out of the bus and brought me to the side of the road where, again, this older woman was waiting with me, asking me questions and keeping me awake as if she were a mother waiting for her child to get help. I didn't know her. I never met her afterwards, but she was there for me in a time when it was probably the most horrific time I had ever been through. I was immediately taken to Hadassah Hospital where my injuries were assessed. I was the least of the seriously wounded and the last to go into surgery that evening. In Israel, when you're considered, not seriously wounded, it means you're not missing a limb. So I definitely probably, for American standards, was seriously injured. I had shrapnel that went through my left shoulder, breaking my clavicle bone. Both my eardrums were blown from the impact of the blast. My hair was burned. My face was burned and bruised. My legs were badly cut up. And that's lucky because, unfortunately, that day, over 100 of us were injured on and off the bus. And 16 innocent people were murdered, including an American originally from Cleveland named Alan Beer. And most of those people that didn't survive were seated around me. They estimated that the terrorist was approximately 2 people standing away from where I was seated. And so the heavy impact of the blast was definitely in the area where I was. While I was in the hospital waiting to go into surgery, this old woman came in and she said, my son was a soldier on the bus. He remembered getting on the bus with an American girl who was talking on her cell phone. He was injured, and he said to his mother, go check on her. Maybe she doesn't have any family. And I thought, here's an 18 or 19-year-old kid who doesn't know me, never had a conversation with me, and he's sending his mother to check in on me, because this is what it's all about, that when you are burned and bleeding and have no family around you, you really have family that you didn't even know existed. And this was a scenario for the next, hour or so, where people were coming in whose family members were injured and they were checking on me. I wouldn't let the doctors initially call my parents because I didn't want a stranger to tell them that I was okay. So finally, when they were called, my father and my brother were on their way to Israel, and my mother couldn't make the trip initially because her passport was expired. So I went into surgery that evening. I came out that next day and did a press conference in the morning with about 30 international television stations talking about what had happened. And then I remained in the hospital for another week and a half until I, was released. And then I stayed on an extra 5 days because I didn't want to be afraid to go back to Israel, which is what my intention was. So I was allowed out for about an hour a day. One day I went out for lunch with friends. The next day I went to the mall for an hour. And the last day I went with a friend and I walked up to where the attack took place. We talked about it. And then that evening I boarded a flight back to the United States, spent the summer recuperating, and boarded a flight on September 3rd, 2003, back to Israel, because I wasn't going to allow that 18-year-old terrorist who wanted to instill fear and paralyze me and other people to actually succeed in what he set out to do. And I lived in Israel for another year until I came back for some ongoing existing medical issues. And since that time, I've really been speaking about my experiences and trying to give people an understanding of not only what terrorism is, but the long-term impact it has on victims and family members. And 3 years ago, I established an organization called Strength to Strength.
Wait, hold that thought. Oh, we're going to talk about that. It's just hard to get a word in because your story is so moving, so impactful. I want to talk about your organization.
Sure.
But first, I want to really get into your story.
Sure.
You mentioned about at the very beginning the impact, and you closed your eyes. Are your eyes okay?
Yeah, thank God that I was looking down because by an automatic response, they were closed. So nothing, the doctors don't know what could have been if I had them open. But thank God they were closed. So they were a little swollen for the first few weeks. But, you know, that to me was a blessing. I did also, because they were closing and one of them was definitely swollen shut, I didn't get to see a lot of the things that most victims see after surviving something like that. So I think that was a blessing in disguise that I didn't see the people around me that didn't survive. And I didn't have the nightmares that a lot of people have in the flashbacks to the event, because I only have an audio memory of it. I don't have a visual memory.
You said several things that were clear that they were blessings, that all came together, that you should be a survivor. You say in your bio, 16 people were killed, including all those seated and standing around her, and over 100 people were injured. Why do you think you were spared?
So I think that these questions are very difficult. There's no rhyme or reason why some people survive and others don't. I only believe that my time here isn't up and there's more that I need to be doing. And so maybe my life was spared to be doing the work that I'm doing today, which I truly believe.
Well, I wouldn't say maybe. In my humble opinion, that's exactly why you were spared, because God had a vision for you and a greater purpose to help so many people like you. And now more than ever, we're talking about global terrorism. So
yeah,
we're going to get to your organization in a moment, but I'm a highly spiritual person. I am Jewish. My heart is very much in Israel, but I do believe everything happens for a reason. And at the end of June, and I'll make this quick and to the point, I had literally a near-death experience where I went in to take a biopsy on something they found on my lung, and 4 months later, I returned home. The first week, I was in intensive care. My blood pressure went to 230. I was living on a ventilator with pipes down my throat. That was the first week. After that, in the hospital, they moved me to acute care, and there over a week where I couldn't talk, I couldn't stand, I couldn't move. They didn't know if I'd ever be able to talk again, if my vocal cords were that badly damaged, especially from the ventilator was so long in my throat. And then over 3 months on a live-in rehab center where I had to learn everything from how to stand, how to take a step, how to move, eating. They taught me how to eat the right way because
wow.
It was so dangerous that I would have choked on it given how bad everything was. Now, I mention this because I've been searching for why I was spared. My neurologist, my doctors all told me way after the fact that I literally could have gone either way. So I kept asking myself, why am I still here given that fact? And I believe it's to get my message out into the world, which is all for making a better world and joining people together. So no accident I have you on the show today, who had such a horrific experience that certainly it could have gone either way. So for whatever it's worth, I believe that's why you were spared, because you have a very important message and a job to do to make the world a better place.
Well, thank you. I think that obviously you're here also to continue amazing things. And I think that's why I don't want to look at, why others didn't survive. I just want to focus on why I'm here and the
right,
things that
I
need to do.
Right, and I never do that. Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and today it's really tough. Almost every call that comes in or out of here, someone's in the hospital, someone's sick, someone just passed. I don't focus on any of that. So I agree with you. You can only ask yourself the question and be guided by that. But I'm very clear that it's no accident we came together today. Thank you, Rabbi Potasnik, for referring Sari Singh to us, because clearly her message needs to get out. Her organization needs to get out. And I'm very grateful for the introduction. Sari, you also mentioned about, here's this young man that inquired about you and never even spoke to you, hadn't met you. I do believe there are guardian angels amongst us, and he might just have been that.
I hope so. I mean, I thought it was very sweet. I don't know who he was. I couldn't thank him. The fact that his mother came to check on me was really very moving, because I felt at that time when I was in the area where I was by myself and nobody was around, people were actually coming in to see if I was okay, which was unbelievable.
And that's just from one human being to another that cares about people. And we're at a time more than ever, the world has to come together, not just Jews for Jews and Catholics for Catholics and whites for whites, but the world needs to band together in the face of such horrific global terrorism.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Getting back to you and your bio, your story was very high profile. You appeared on TV popular stations such as CBS, Fox News, CNN. You had a myriad of radio interviews, but certainly you hit the big time when you came on our show today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. You spoke before congressmen and senators in Washington and politicians in New York and New Jersey. What was your message to that?
I think it's the idea for me with lessons learned, that to take from my experience and the experience of other Israelis and for us to be able to figure out a way to protect this country better. It definitely was what my intention was in speaking in front of Congress members, and within New York itself, talking to members of the city council, especially since New York had been a target, figuring out ways to make the city safer for everybody who's here, and trying to figure out ways that, you know, engaging the public more, because I truly believe that we all have to be involved in combating terrorism. It can't just be those of us that have been directly impacted. It has to be everybody seeing what's around them. There are signs in the subway in New York all the time and all around on different things saying, you know, if you see something, say something. And I don't think many of us take that very seriously, but we have the potential and we have the obligation to say something so that way we can hopefully prevent something from happening. And I think that we need to make that more of a priority for people to really understand that message.
I agree with you, and that is no longer a luxury. That is a necessity. If you see something, say something. It starts with something what might seem insignificant to some, but is indeed significant, from the bullying in the schools to the bullying on social media to the package that's left unattended. We have to take that seriously. There is no longer a choice about that, given the status of the world today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no choice.
In September 2003, you returned to work as a volunteer in Israel. So what did you do as a volunteer?
So, I mean, I had a job in Israel. I worked at a post-high school program with probably about 100 American and British students. And I also volunteer with a number of different organizations in Israel. I worked with the One Family Fund, which works directly with the victims and their families, the Kobe Mendel Foundation, which also works with the families, although the Mendels were personally impacted by terrorism in Israel. Their son was murdered at 14 years old. So they started an organization to work with children who have lost family members, as well as mothers, bereaved mothers. So I did some volunteer work for them, and I also did some volunteer work for the Gift of Life Foundation, which is actually, I think their home base is in Florida. They do the bone marrow testing. So I had volunteered for them when I lived in New York, and so when I was in Israel, it was sort of a normal thing for me to say to them, how about if I do something for you guys while I'm overseas? So we went from school to school testing the American students as they turned 18 so they could be directly in the registry and be able to, you know, hopefully save somebody's life. So those were the main things I was involved in, but I also had some other projects in Israel, you know, little things to try and help the communities.
In June 2004, Sari returned to the U.S. to take care of ongoing medical issues. Were they byproducts of what happened to you with that act of terrorism?
Yes. I mean, Israel was amazing in terms of the care that I was given, but there were some ongoing things, and I think I just felt more comfortable with my own doctors, and the language barrier sometimes is difficult, and also there it's socialized medicine, so there's a process in terms of appointments and everything else, and I just felt more comfortable seeing my own physicians here in the New York area. But it was a very hard decision to make, and when I came back here, I became the director of One Family Fund, their East Coast division. And I spent 2 years fundraising for them and speaking and trying to help victims of terrorism directly in Israel.
Sari is the founder and director of Strength to Strength, a nonprofit organization which focuses on bringing together victims of terrorism from around the world and assisting with long-term psychological care. She has addressed audiences throughout the U.S., Canada, Europe, South America, and Israel, and continues to share her unique insight into the ongoing struggle for victims of terrorism in Israel and around the globe. Folks, that website is www.stosglobal.org. S obviously standing for Strength to Strength. So S strength, standing for strength, TOS for strength, global.org. Now tell us about that organization.
Sure. Strength to Strength was established to bring victims of terrorism together globally to help them heal and move forward with their lives. And what's important is that, you know, we can come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions, but all of us who've been impacted directly by terrorism share this common bond of something that we've experienced that really bonds us for life. And so we work with existing organizations in different countries around the world. Currently, we're working with organizations in Northern Ireland, in Spain, in the UK, in France, in Uganda, Kenya, Argentina, Israel, Algeria. And we work with the victims in 9/11, Oklahoma City, and most recently, actually, our first event will be tomorrow evening in Boston. With a number of Boston survivors from the marathon from a few years ago, and just kind of bringing people together that we don't necessarily have to talk about what happened, but we understand each other, and we can be there to support each other going forward. And it's really important that victims feel validated and that they feel that they have someone to lean on. And so we actually, a number of weeks ago, had our weekend retreat in New York City. We had 31 Americans and Canadians who had either survived terrorism attacks or lost family members from 8 different attacks around the world. And it was really an empowering weekend where, again, we didn't all have to sit and talk about, you know, all the terrible things we went through, but it was a time to reflect and to meet some incredible people. And the thing I say is that out of the worst situation in my life, I've met the most incredible people all over the world that I consider family. And so if there's anything that's ever happening or something that, you know, is going on in the world and I'm feeling like, you know, gosh, this is, you know, reminding me of my own attack, I can call any one of them and they know exactly what I'm feeling, what I'm going through.
Understood. And I just want to say, I love what you're up to. I love who you are. You always have a forum on our show. I just want you to know you'll always be welcome.
No, thank you.
The next thing I wanted to ask you was, as founder and director of this organization, do you have a lot of volunteers, or are you pretty much the chief cook and bottle washer that does it all?
Well, we're all volunteer-based. The organization is definitely volunteer-run. First of all, let me preface that half of our board of directors are all either survivors of a terrorist attack or bereaved family members. And the idea behind that is that we know what we need. And so to engage victims and to have them involved in the process, to me, is very, very important. So everybody has full-time jobs. We all are doing incredible things. I work at Touro College in Manhattan doing career advisement, which is something that I love to do. But my impact in the world of in terms of what's personal has been building Strength to Strength because it is something that happened to me, and I want to make sure that I'm paying it forward. So we have lots of volunteers, especially in the New York area, but we're always open to other people volunteering in other places. And, you know, we would love people to get engaged and involved in the work we're doing, because one of the things that I speak about often internationally is that we need to have more social responsibility in this world, that we can't just think that those of us that are directly impacted or the police police or the, you know, the federal government or people that really are dealing with these issues are going to be the ones to only be involved in it, and that everybody in the communities, every single person living not only in this country but around the world has to be engaged in combating terrorism. And if we do it together, we'll be a lot more successful than doing it alone.
I agree wholeheartedly. When did the STOSglobal.org, that website, that company, when did that start? When
so we
did
started
it
three
open?
Years ago. We started 3 years ago, Strength to Strength. And so we've really grown tremendously in the last 3 years. And we see the need
so
for much greater.
So in 2013?
In 2012.
Oh, 2012, 3 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. That when it's opened its doors, how long was it in your mind as a visionary? When did you think about it?
I mean, I guess for me, working with victims in Israel was really important. And the work I did with One Family Fund there and here in the States was really, really important to me. And while they have an unbelievable, you know, they have a big challenge in terms of they're working with thousands of people there. I sort of wanted to branch out and meet other victims. And I did meet other victims throughout the years in other countries and seeing what they were going through. And the idea that this is not just Israel's problem, this is a world problem. And we all need to come together to combat that hate. And so, you know, if we come together from different places, different backgrounds, different religions, I thought, you know, that's really important to show that terrorism doesn't discriminate, that it's universal, and that we all have a role to play once we've been impacted by this, and for it not to destroy our lives, for instead for it to do the opposite, to show the opposite of what that day was all about, which is to empower and engage and to bring people together for good things.
Agreed. And I'm a very positive person, and I sincerely fear that it's getting worse. The global terrorism. A little bit about Strength to Strength, folks. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to assist victims of terrorism with long-term psychological needs through meetings, provision of information and advice, and raising awareness of the unmet needs of victims and their families. Strength to Strength enables the victims of terrorism to share experiences and empower them to live life to their best potential. They are committed to each victim through their global network. The mission of Strength to Strength is to bring victims of terrorism together globally in order to share their experiences and move forward with their lives despite the trauma they have been through. Thank God I've never been a victim of terrorism, but having had a near-death experience, I know what it's like just to move forward, because it took so much courage and wherewithal and focus to just take a step. Every single thing I did was a challenge. Everything that we take for granted was extremely difficult. Standing at the sink and brushing my teeth for 2 minutes was a big ordeal just to stand up. So thank God, not terrorism, but an out of nowhere health challenge when I wasn't sick, didn't see it coming, had no reason to believe I had a problem, went in to take a test and came home 4 months later. So I really do understand that terrorism has a lot of the same components. Didn't see it coming, were ill prepared, and there it was, and what you had to go through just to survive.
Yes, I mean, it sometimes it's surreal to think about what you've gone through and then realize that it really did happen to you. But I feel very blessed that I'm here, and I feel very grateful for all the work that I'm able to do and for the support of family and friends that really helped to make Strength to Strength a reality.
See, you already said something that I so connected with. I always use those words. It's surreal, and I can't believe I went through that. It's almost like, did that happen to me? Did I go through that? So those are the exact words I've used, and that's why I said I felt there were some similarities.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, folks, this show is a very important show. It's important in the sense of bringing more awareness to the global issues. It's not about anyone, race, color, or religion. It's about everyone. We're all in this together. We need to come together globally, all for one and one for all. And it's really, really important that if you see something, say something. And what I want to share with you now is about when you hear something, and very specifically this show, and sharing that with others. And I might add, you might want to listen every day. We always have a positive message, a great guest. So here are the reasons from our health guru, Beverly Nadler, in her own words, why you should listen to this show every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good, and guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to our website, Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left, it says follow. And if you click on that, you'll know about every show, every guest, every topic. You'll get this information via email, so you need not miss any of our special shows. And you can let your friends, your relatives, your contacts know about any show. Even if they can't listen live at 11 a.m. Eastern, they can listen 24/7 in our archives for any of our special shows. So once again, folks, you're listening to Sari Singer today, whose nonprofit organization is Strength to Strength, and the website is www.stosglobal.org. You might be interested in volunteering or contributing on whatever level that makes you feel comfortable. And if you are a victim of a terrorist attack or a family member and need help or would like to get involved, please contact them by email at assistance@stsglobal.org. So, Sherry, before we wrap up this kind of section and spend a little time about the joys of Hanukkah, it was a serious show, but it needed to be said. And what better time to say it than on Hanukkah when it's a celebration of life? Anything else you want to say about your organization?
No, I appreciate being on the show and being able to be a voice for other people, for them to hear what victims through, and hopefully to realize that, you know, this is a long-term thing, and it's a new normal for a lot of people. And especially, unfortunately, there's a lot of new people in the last few weeks that have joined this club that none of us have asked to join. And isn't it amazing that if there was a need for something like this, that you or your family were, God forbid, impacted by terrorism, that there is a place that you can go and someone to reach out to who understands and who's been through it and so can really relate to what you're going through on many levels.
Absolutely. And that's why I thought getting your message out ASAP is something we really wanted to make a priority. Rabbi Potashnik will be on with us one day this week. Hanukkah is 8 days. He will be joining us one day. It takes a lot of maneuvering with his schedule, so that will happen. And on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have it be a much more fun and upbeat kind of show. There'll be some quizzes and trivia and jokes and all that kind of thing, because it is indeed a happy holiday. So we want to celebrate it tomorrow. I think you're extraordinary, Sherry. I feel very blessed that you're with us. And I'd now like to transition over to the Hanukkah and its story. Anything you want to share about that?
I mean, I think there's a lot of connection between, you know, Hanukkah and the story of Hanukkah and the idea of the destruction of the temple and what was going on in the world at that time of hatred and why things happen in Jewish history. And I just think that we always need to keep in mind for ourselves what's really, you know, going on and how we have the potential to change things and to make things better. And that, you know, darkness never extinguishes light. Evil never triumphs over good at the end, and we all can make a difference in the world and impact the world to make it better if we just figure out a way how. And we all have something that we can do to do things just to make things a little better for people. And I think we have to figure it out, find something that we love to do, find something that you're passionate about, and put your energies into that, just making things better for everybody across the board.
And talking about people who make things better for everyone, our friend who's a regular on our show, in fact, we have the exclusive with the one and only world-renowned psychic Peter Marks. Peter, my goodness, only about a week ago, before I even heard of Sari Singer, you gave me a message from your guides. Why don't you share what that message was? Tell the audience.
Well, first I want to say, Joyce, I've been listening to the radio show from the inception, and Sari's life story—well, her story about being involved in the terrorist attack—made me really think about how grateful we should be on an everyday level to be here and to be helping other people, and to for her to go through an experience like this. And to survive this, my God, a lot of people would be going through post-traumatic stress disorder. And God bless you, dear. You've been through more than most people go through in a lifetime.
Yeah, but thank you. I think definitely the support of family and friends has been very, very key for me.
Yes, absolutely. I also wanted to mention to you, my guides told me about a week ago that Joyce normally has very positive uplifting topics on, and they were telling me that they wanted people to come on her radio show that have been involved or witnessed terrorist attacks. And sure enough, you're a blessing because of the fact that your guides are telling me you've done this in the past. You've been an activist for other people in other countries. And I am also going to say to you, I do feel, not that you're looking for any remuneration, but they're showing me you receiving some type of honor from the Israeli government.
Okay. I don't know about that, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah, so I wanted to let you know that. But, you know, Joyce is an amazing... not only a life coach, but also a host, and she has people from diversified backgrounds on, and my guide said you must listen to the show because what you've done in many ways is spreading positivity to not only Jewish people, but Christians, people from multi-faiths all over the world, and your courage to have been able to be in Israel and to have gone through this experience, to me, would be life-altering.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel very lucky that I'm able to do this work and really be a voice for other people, you know, that are no longer here to share their stories.
Yes, I also wanted to let you know you have many guides around you and many angels around you protecting you and watching over you.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
Yes, so I did want to call in and express my feelings. And Joyce, as usual, I love you, and you have a wonderful show today.
And I thank you. And, folks, I meant that sincerely. About a week or so ago, Peter called me, and he said, you really need to have on your show a victim of terrorism, given what the world is going through. To hear it firsthand from a survivor of terrorism would be extraordinary for your show. This was a week ago. I didn't know about Sari until last night, literally, when Rabbi Potashnik called me and had a last-minute cancellation today for him being my guest because he found out that he had to handle a funeral service this morning, and that had just come up very suddenly. In the Jewish religion, we bury people right away. We don't have a wake. We don't have a week, and all of that in the house. It happens very, very quickly, and he told me only last night, and it was a week ago that Peter brought it up that I should be having someone like this, and Sari turns up. So you got to know, I am telling you firsthand that I have the exclusive with Peter on radio. He's on once a month on our show. He takes calls from people all over the world and handles their question or concern in a mini reading, and he is extraordinary. He's had many people that he's read through the show, and each and everyone said he was right on, and I'm saying, as always, Peter Marks, you're right on.
Well, thank you, darling, and I appreciate that. And I'm going to continue to listen to the radio show. And Sari, the guides and the master guides are saying you're a blessing to the world, not just to Israel and your family. So I wanted to let you know that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
A happy holiday.
You too.
All right.
And, folks, I just want to say, if you want to connect with Peter Marks, psychic Peter Marks, you can call him to book a private reading at 203-206-9353 or email him at psychicpetermarks@yahoo.com. Either way, you can connect with him. And just know, with the integrity of the show, I never endorse anyone unless I know firsthand that they are worthy of the endorsement. They are unbelievable at what they do, way out of the box, and really, really extraordinary. And Peter is such a person. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, dear. Have a great day.
And you too as well. So, speaking of endorsements, once again, I want to endorse the website, stosglobal.org. And I want to spend a bit more time on Hanukkah. What stands out for you about Hanukkah, Sari Singer? What do you like most?
I think I love family time, which I don't get to do as often as I would like. I think I like spending time with my family. I think the candles, the lighting, doing it together with people, friends, I think it's really special. Last night I was able to participate, and I spoke at something in Crown Heights for the first night of Hanukkah with about 40 people, which was really, really meaningful and beautiful. So I think it's the holiday of really coming together and celebrating and witnessing miracles.
Yes, it is a holiday of miracles. Your being alive is a miracle, Sari Singer. My being alive is indeed a miracle. So it is a holiday of miracles, and we need to appreciate our life every single day because we don't know when it's the last breath or when some unforeseen event, catastrophic, will take place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I love Christmas as well. It's one of my favorite holidays because I love the songs. I love the Christmas stories that I can watch again and again. I feel like every day should be like Hanukkah and Christmas and celebration. But we all know there are countless Christmas songs, many of which were written by Jews like Irving Berlin, the number one song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. But I have here a song written by Jeffrey Paul Bobrick, sung by him. It's one of the few Hanukkah songs that there are, except for one I believe Adam Sandler wrote. So let me share this with you.
As he laughs in the mall, baby's crying as the mom strikes a pose. Take a picture, but ignore the runny nose. La 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 la, ho ho ho. Steal a kiss under the mistletoe. Have some food, take a long distance call. A holy night, yeah, I love it all. But what do you do? You're a Jew. Oh. Oh, oh, it's Hanukkah. 8 nights of stamina for your lady, your manica, with you. Oh, oh, it's Hanukkah. Across the world in Canada, we didn't die, we won, let's be. Adam Sandler songs, spin the dreidel, decorate Christmas trees, sing of wise men or sing of Maccabees. But what do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do? When you're a Jew. Substitute to, it's true.
Folks, happy Hanukkah around the globe, and you don't have to be Jewish to appreciate Hanukkah, its traditions, and what it stands for. As I said earlier, I'm very proud to be a Jew. I love my Jewish heritage. I love Israel as much as my own country. So I think it's a time now more than ever we should all appreciate each other's differences rather than stay away from people because they have differences. Now more than ever, it's a time to come together to make for a better world. Over to you, Terry. What would you like to say about that?
I mean, you said it perfectly. You definitely said it perfectly.
Let me go to my studio. We have a loyal listener here, Mary Angela, who's not Jewish. What? Mary Angela? Did we just lose you? Okay. I just had her a second ago. I was just going to say, she listens to our show every day. You don't have to be Jewish. Sari, again, getting back to your organization, are there a volunteer opportunity, you say? People just need to go to the website?
Absolutely, and they can definitely reach out to me directly and email me at Sari, S as in Sam, A-R-R-I, at stosglobal.org, and I'm happy to reach out to people and get them engaged and involved.
And now more than ever, folks, we need you. We need each and every one of you to be involved to make for a better place. Let me just try Mary Angela one more time because I lost her before. Are you there?
Good morning, Joyce. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, thank you. I just went to your mic and it wasn't coming in. So there you are. What do you think about the show today?
Oh, my God. It's just, you know, as a person that has suffered post-traumatic syndrome, I can't even imagine in my wildest dreams what your guests and people that have been firsthand influenced by terrorism. It just, it's pretty hard to wrap your mind around it. It really, truly is. So, but I'm just so glad that people are bringing awareness and that we're coming together. And I really do believe the power of prayer, we can overconquer all the terrorism that we are experiencing. And I just know every day it's going to come to an end.
Well, hopefully the power of prayer, the power of gratitude, the power of forgiveness, the power of appreciating and supporting each other, all of those things matter. And just one question, hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot. You're not Jewish. Can you tell people how you appreciate Hanukkah? Because I know you're a lover of life.
Oh, I think I was Jewish in a couple past lives, so I really, truly enjoy all the religions and, you know, Kwanzaa and all the different traditions. I just don't buy into all of it. I just take all of it in, so there's not just one significant. I just love them. I just love learning about all the different religions and why they believe the way they do. So, yeah, Hanukkah. I like the part that you get 7 presents.
Thank you so much for calling, and God bless you. We appreciate you. And, you know, given what you said about all the religions in college, I wrote my thesis on comparative religions. I found it fascinating. Christmas, Hanukkah, Easter, Passover. They are, you know, when you look into it, there's so many similarities that I found it fascinating. Sari, what words do you want to use as we wrap up here? What message do you want to get out?
I just think that everyone should count their blessings and hug their families a little harder this year with everything that's going on in the world and just feel very grateful for everything they have and to give a little bit more of themselves this year. You know, it's okay to give at home, and that's where we should be giving first. As I grew up, you know, charity always begins at home, but it's okay for us to, you know, engage and help others outside and to teach our families and our children that. And I think that for the next generation of leaders, for them to be engaged at a young age in understanding in a way what's going on in the world and how they can be a part of trying to stop the bad that's happening.
Very good message, very significant message. And folks, the note I want to leave you on is a special prayer I wrote for all of you. Make this the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make it the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. Happy Hanukkah to our friends around the world. Peace and blessings to all of you. And we want to leave you feeling happy and joyful. So we ask that you mash with us, singing and dancing to the Joyce Barry Mash, guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.